The Old Testament lesson for today is recorded in the 17th chapter of the book of the prophet Jeremiah, beginning at verse 5. This also serves as the text for our sermon this morning. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is anyone who trusts in mankind, who seeks his strength from human flesh, and who turns his heart away from the Lord. He will be like a juniper bush in the wasteland. He will not see good things when they come. He lives in a dry place in the wilderness, in a salty land where no one lives. But blessed is anyone who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by water. It sends out its roots to the stream. It does not fear the heat when it comes. Its leaves will remain green. It is not concerned about a time of drought. It does not stop producing fruit. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From Jeremiah chapter 17, I'll read verse 7 again. But blessed is anyone who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. This is the word of our God. And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, curses and blessings. We tend to think that we have a pretty good handle on which is which, that it's easy to be able to identify those who are being cursed, those who are experiencing blessings. We see one person and say, oh, look what they have to endure. What curses that is. What a curse. Or look at all the good things this person has. They are surely blessed. But today, we see that Jesus turns that upside down. We see a strong person and God says, weak. And we look at a broken person and God says, there. That is strength. That is the strength of the Lord. And so we put our trust in the Lord today and in his holy word as he reminds us that the one who trusts in the Lord is always blessed. Because his strength is the Lord's and not his own. And because he's always fruitful, even in the driest heat. What a difficult call for the prophet Jeremiah to speak to the people of Israel, of Judah, that their judgment had come. To speak to the people that were God's chosen possession, to tell them that they were going to be abandoned by God. And the Lord says this to Jeremiah, say all these things to them, but they will not listen to you. Call to them, but they will not answer you. Tell them that the nation that the Lord has chosen is now rejected, but it doesn't matter because they're not going to listen. Jeremiah urged the people not to trust in human strength. We see that in our text today. He warned that those who trusted in their own strength would be cursed and not blessed. And yet that's exactly what they did. When Babylon came to threaten them, instead of praying to the Lord to bring them deliverance and help, they turned to the Egyptians. What a slap in the face that would be to the Lord. Centuries before, this is the very nation that God had brought them away from, delivered them from slavery in Egypt. And now they're turning to that nation to help them with another nation. So these words of Jeremiah ring so true. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is anyone who trusts in mankind, who seeks his strength from human flesh, and who turns his heart away from the Lord. But that's exactly what Judah was doing. The word used for anyone in this translation really misses so much. It's a word that means man, but it's not one of the most common words for man. It's a word that emphasizes a strong man, a warrior, one who is mighty. It's very interesting then. Because the Lord inspired Jeremiah to use this exact same word both for the first description as well as for the second description. Cursed is the strong man on the one hand, and blessed is the strong man on the other hand. And so we have to ask, well, what's the difference? He's not cursed because he's strong or blessed because he's strong. He's cursed or blessed because of where he puts his trust. In his own strength, on the one hand, or in the strength of the Lord, on the other hand. Yes, even the strong man is blessed, whose strength is the Lord's and not his own. Then look at the beauty of that verse 7. More literally, it says, blessed is the strong man who trusts in the Lord, and the Lord is his trust. Yes, even though he may be strong, he doesn't rely on his own strength. He doesn't rely on his own flesh, his own abilities. His heart does not turn from the Lord. Instead, he leans completely on that God, no matter how humanly strong he may be. Well, this can be a hard place to go, because it directly contradicts that can-do spirit that is so prevalent in our society today. It flies in the face of that attitude, that spirit. From Nike's Just Do It to Gatorade, is it in you? And everything in between, we're a can-do society. If we get knocked down, we just get up again. If we're challenged, we will rise to the occasion to meet the challenge head on, and we will overcome. We will triumph because we are strong. We are powerful. We can. But Jeremiah tells us just the opposite. Now, this doesn't mean that it's a sin to have a positive attitude or a strong work ethic. No. But it does condemn where the trust is placed, if that trust is placed in self. Cursed is anyone who trusts in mankind, who seeks his strength from human flesh, and who turns his heart away from the Lord. Well, what comes of such a person? He will be like a juniper bush in the wasteland. He will not see good things when they come. He lives in a dry place in the wilderness, in a salty land where no one lives. No matter how strong he thinks that he might be, you think you have everything? God says, you have nothing. And interesting, even when blessings come, they don't even see it, they don't even realize it. These blessings that God showers upon all people, and you don't even know it. Because your trust is placed in yourself. You are a desert. You're a salted earth. You're an empty, lifeless bush. That's what happens to the one whose strength is his own and not the Lord's. Cursed. So what kind of people are we? What have we deserved? We know what we have deserved. That our trust too often is in ourselves. Our trust is in flesh and blood, in mankind. Our hope is in human flesh, human strength. Too often in our lives, our hearts have turned away from the Lord. Too often we have relied on our own strength to save us. But look at the one who never trusted in himself. Look at the one who was truly strong. Look at the one who had the strength of God himself. But what did he do? He blessed the poor and hungry, those who wept and were hated and were rejected. In fact, he became one of them. And yet all the while, his trust was in the strength of his God. Even as the Son of Man, his strength was in his Heavenly Father. Even as he suffered for the sins of the world, he trusted perfectly in that Father. And he suffered for all the times when we trusted ourselves. He suffered that curse that our misplaced trust merited. And he trusted in the Father even to death on the cross in order to bless us and give us the strength of the Lord. There he is. That is your strength. Not in this, in flesh and blood, in the one who, at his invitation, we come forward today to receive his Holy Supper. In his flesh and blood, as he gives his own body and blood with bread and wine, and there it is again. My strength, my senses, my reason says, no, that can't be, Jesus. Let me help you with that. You meant this represents your body. This symbolizes or reminds me of your blood. But that's what happens when we trust in human reason and strength. But when I trust in the Lord, remembering the one who has spoken these words to me, I say, you are right, Lord. In you I trust. And there I receive the most amazing gift of all, a trust properly placed in God and his word, my body for you, my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins, and oh, how blessed we are as we trust in the Lord. And then what happens? You want a positive attitude? You want productive results? Then look at the one who does exactly this, putting the trust in the Lord and not himself. Look at how fruitful he is. Even in a parched desert, he's well watered and nourished. Even in the driest drought, he never stops producing abundant fruit. But blessed is anyone who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by water. It sends out its roots to the stream. It doesn't fear the heat when it comes. Its leaves will remain green. It is not concerned about a time of drought. It does not stop producing fruit. What was that result for Judah? What kind of people were they as Jeremiah prophesying these words to them? What had they been? God told them through Jeremiah, they were like a cursed people. He said, I will take away their harvest, declares the Lord. There will be no grapes on the vine. There will be no figs on the fig tree, and the leaves will wither. What I have given them will be taken away from them. Even the fruit they had was taken away. See how often the Bible uses the picture of fruit on a tree to illustrate the life of a believer? Or the lack of fruit as evidence of a lack of trust in God. Jesus saw the fig tree without any figs, and he cursed it because it didn't bear the fruit that he demanded. And then he spoke that night before he died as himself as the vine, and we as the branches. And dead branches, they'd be cut off, and fruitful branches would be pruned to be even more fruitful. And then Paul was inspired by God the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 11 to speak about natural branches, to describe the dead Judah being cut off so that unnatural branches, we Gentiles, could be grafted in. What a gift of God's grace that is. But then he warned, if he didn't spare the natural branches when they didn't bear fruit, do you think he's going to spare unnatural ones who are grafted in if you don't bear fruit? Again and again, God uses that illustration of a fruitful tree. And then that's a fearful thought, because our fruit is never ripe enough. Our leaf is never green enough. Our works are never good enough for God's expectations to meet God's demands. But we don't rely on our own fruit or our fruitfulness. Because again, our trust is not in ourselves. We don't rely on our own strength nor on our own fruits. Instead, our trust is in the Lord and in the fruits that he produced perfectly for us. As Jesus himself said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it continues to be one kernel. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And my Savior, Jesus, the Lord in whom I trust, that seed of the woman fell to the ground and died to produce a harvest of righteousness that is more bountiful than anything that we could ever produce. And look what that trust in Christ results in. Instead of a defeatist attitude, I can't do anything myself. Instead, we see the most productive tree, the well-watered tree, the most amazing produce, even in the driest conditions. He'll be like a tree planted by water. It sends out its roots to the stream. It does not fear when the heat when it comes. Its leaves will remain green. It is not concerned about a time of drought. It does not stop producing fruit. How can we do that? How can we be so well nourished? How can we stand tall and green and flourishing with abundant fruit of good works of praise to the Lord in whom we trust, even in the driest heat? It's that water. It's that stream to which our roots are sent out. It's that wonderful, ever-flowing river of the gospel. As we sang in our hymn of the day for today, "Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening." God comes to us in that word, flowing through us endlessly on the pages of His holy scriptures. It never stops running, and so it never stops watering us, so that we never dry up, no matter how severe the drought, so that we're never in want, no matter how violent the heat. Here, we see the waters of our baptism, which flow like a never-ending stream of comfort throughout every day, throughout our entire lives, that I'm a child of God, that my sins have been washed away in this flood of water, Christ's cleansing baptism, the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, that I've been sealed for all eternity, sealed in these waters. Those waters never stop flowing to me and through me to assure me that I am God's perfect and holy and strong and beautiful and loved and blessed tree. And we send out our roots to that gospel again and again, and we soak up all the nutrients from that stream. We drink up all the strength of those gospel waters that are open to us in His Word. As we come into His house, our strength is renewed, refreshed and restored in these weekly oases of His Word and sacrament. And then we go home and we go down and study that Word again to draw those nutrients again, to be refreshed throughout the week again and again, so that we have a green leaf and abundant fruit. And look at the fruit. It chases away fear in the face of heat. It remains green and confident and strong even in the time of drought, and it never stops producing fruit. So people look and wonder and marvel and say, "How? How can they be so strong? How are you bearing so much fruit?" And we say, "Because I'm blessed. I'm blessed by the Lord who is my strength, and He always has been, and He always will be." Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.